Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the eighth tape in the series entitled Anatomy of the Soul in Jewish Philosophy and Kabbalah, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Thank you. In the beginning of Perek Beis, chapter 2 of Tanya, the author discusses the fact that beyond the first primal soul that exists within the human being that he terms the Nefesh HaBahamis, the animal soul, the Nefesh HaChiyunis, the vital soul, there exists in every Jew a soul which is defined as the Nefesh HaLokis, the godly, the divine soul. This is the first spark of consciousness beyond that of the zoological species. But in addition to a spark of consciousness, it also possesses an entire array of faculties, attributes, energies, powers, both on an intellectual level, on an emotional level, on a functional level, conscious and subconscious, that create an entire persona, which is therefore called a soul, a complete personality and character. But nevertheless, this is a soul that's beyond, as mentioned, the zoological species, even of a higher form, a higher developed type of animal, an intellectual or emotional animal, it goes beyond that. And this is a soul which is directly connected to its divine essence. As he says in Hebrew, Nefesh Hashenis bi Yisrael is a chelek aleikam im ha'amam, which it's truly a part of Hashem above. Hence, in every single Jew there exists a consciousness that can be defined literally as a godly consciousness. It's a consciousness that both is aware and possesses that whole array of faculties as mentioned. But what is the root, what is the essence of this consciousness? A godly consciousness that exists within the human being and in all its modes of expressions and manifestations and revelations and experiences, it's godly. So its wisdom is godly, its emotions are godly, its functions are godly, every aspect of it is godly. And he gives the metaphor of a child, because the Jewish people are defined in the Torah as children of Hashem, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, or Bnei B'chayri Yisrael, and says just as a child is rooted and stems from the brain of its father, the same, the souls of the Jews come from the divine wisdom, so to speak. And this is a very powerful metaphor, as discussed last week more at length, the relationship of a child to a father. Chazal tell us, for example, that Adam chas al maisei yadav, a person has empathy for the deeds of his hands, for something that he created, activated, was involved in. A person cares for it in a very real way, because the human being imbued his energy in it, part of him. So even if it's not anymore part of his property, he does not have possession over it. Nevertheless, since he created it, he activated it, so a part of himself, a part of his soul, a part of his energy is imbued within it. So if an artist creates a piece of art, even if he sells it, but then he hears that it was lost or destroyed, it perturbs him, it bothers him in a very real sense. Part of himself he imbued in that piece of art, although it does not belong to him anymore. But nevertheless, even Ma'ase Yadav, even something that a person has created, that a person has done, if it gets lost, okay, the person is upset, might be angered, but as they say in Yiddish, megeit weiter, you go further, right? But then there is that phenomenon when something occurs, God forbid, to a child, and this devastates a father in the core essence of his being, because it's not only that part of his energy he imbued in his child. The child ultimately comes from him, so it means part of him is in the child. That's true about all Maisa Yadav, everything a person creates and does, there is part of him in it, because he expended his energy for it. Over here it's more than this. A child is rooted in the quintessence of the father's soul. So when something occurs to the child, it affects the father in the deepest level of self. It's not only the child comes from a certain part of the body of the father, or even an external projection of energy of the father. The child, in its totality, stems from mayachav. Mayachav means the brain of the father, and this is not only the physical brain, but the wisdom of the father, and the source of life which is in the wisdom and the brain of the father, and in the essence of the personality of the father. So therefore, even after the child is born and physically is a separate being, a separate entity, nevertheless, there is an inescapable sense of truth and consciousness that lies in the heart of the father, that this is a part of his deepest self. And therefore, everything that occurs to the child touches him and affects him in a way that nothing else can affect him. Sometimes even what happens to him will not be as important and crucial and significant as what happens to the child. Because the child is rooted not only in his conscious wisdom, but as explained, even on deeper levels, literally the deepest part of self. This is, of course, discussing a healthy father. Unfortunately, today, in the present era, there are many unhealthy people. And when the child screams, shouts, Tate, Father, it evokes a responsive chord in the essence of the soul, the soul's harp of the father's being. So the Alter Rebbe says that Neshames Yisrael Abonim Atem Lashem Alekechem. They are children of Hashem. And the metaphor of a child of here is not only that he created us, he sustains us, he directs us, he cares for us. It's kemashal haben hanimshach b'mayach ha'av. The same above mentioned relationship that exists between a child and a father exists between the neshama of the Jew, between this godly soul of the Jew and Hashem. Why? Because the neshama comes from the divine essence. So in every single Jew, there exists a consciousness. What is this consciousness? This is part and parcel of the divine reality. And therefore, because of this soul that exists in the Jew, all the aspirations, motivations, instincts, expressions, experiences, emotions, and wisdom, and all the details involved, every single faculty gravitates and is essentially connected to the essence of the Father, which in this case, we're referring to Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe continues and says that when you say the neshama is rooted in the divine wisdom, it goes even a step deeper than the wisdom of the human being. Because in the human being, there is a distinction that has to be made between the soul of the human being and the cognitive faculty and experience. By Hashem, however, hu v'chachmasa yachad, he and his wisdom faculty are one, as he quotes the Rambam, hu hamada v'hu hayedeya v'hu hayedua. There are three aspects. There is the mada, yedeya, and yedua. Yedeya is he who knows, which refers to the soul of the human being. Mada refers to the cognitive faculty and the cognitive experience, the means of comprehension, perception, conception, etc. And Yadua is the subject which is knowing. The logical idea, mathematical equation, or whatever it may be. In a person, these three aspects are distinct components. Regarding Hashem, the Rambam says, Hu Hamada, Vuhu Hayedeya, Vuhu Hayedua. They are one. So when you say the Neshama is rooted in Chachmasa Yisbarech, in the wisdom, in the Chachma, in the Mada, so to speak, in the cognitive faculty of Hashem, this is actually linked and bond, and one with His very self. Because who? V'chachmasa yachat. Thus, we can define the nefesh Hashem is b'Yisrael as being a chelik eleika mimal mamash. Yeah. Regarding the Nefesh HaBahamis, if it has this relationship to Hashem. No, of course, everything in the world is created by Hashem. But this is the Mashal HaBen HaNimshech Mimaya Ha'av. When you create a painting, you imbue your energy in that. Forget about a painting. If you fix a lock on your door, there's also part of your wisdom, your energy, is in that lock. Whatever you may do. And then there are things that are more significant and more significant and more significant. But the main distinction has to be made between an external projection of oneself and the internal experience of oneself. And therefore, besides giving the metaphor of a child, he also brings another two aspects. He defines the uniqueness of the Jewish soul, number one, as something that comes, so to speak, from Hashem blowing, and number two, as something that stems from the divine thought. Both of these metaphors convey the fact that the soul is rooted in a very deep and internal realm of the godly essence versus everything else that was created, the universe and all contained within it. Even sublime creatures are rooted and stem from, in Torah terms, from the dibur of Hashem, from the utterance of Hashem, which is more an external projection of His energy. And therefore, of course, it's significant, it's important, it has a purpose, it has a godly purpose. But there's this unique, otherworldly, godly experience, which becomes a consciousness. It becomes a nefesh, it becomes a soul in the human being. We started to learn last week the Haggah, the note in Tanya. We did not manage to conclude it. So now we will conclude the Haggah, yeah. Yeah, this is a unique aspect found among the Jews. Okay, I have to. It's a very good question. He's asking why Yipach Bapa Nishmas Chayim says regarding Adam Arishay, not regarding the Jew. And since the answer is requires a little elaboration, I have to refer you to last week's class where we discussed it more at length. I believe there are tapes available. Let's learn the Haggah. The note in Perek Beis. This is a note that was written on the side, and you see it's printed in smaller letters because indeed it's not directly connected to the content of the Perek, but nevertheless it's something that Alter Rebbe feels he has to make mention of, and therefore it's a note on the side. As we discussed last week more briefly, this statement of the Rambam, that by Hashem, these three distinct components of Mada, Yedeya, and Yadua are actually one and bound together, was not accepted by all Jewish philosophers and scholars. Most notably the Maharal of Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Leva of Prague from the 16th century, who was a great thinker and sage, has many, many svarim, argues with the Rambam and criticizes him quite severely, although not mentioning his name, but it's quite evident from anyone who reads that second introduction to Sefer Gvuris Hashem by the Maharal who he is referring to. And his main problems with the Rambam are two. Number one, if Hashem's knowledge of everything is derived from His very self, not from something outside of Him, as the Rambam says, how does He know all those things that occur in the universe and in reality that don't stem from Him? Those things that are created by the act of man, sometimes negative acts, transgressions, etc., do not stem from Him. How does He know that? According to the Rambam wanted to explain that there's total unity in Hashem and there's no change. There's no multiplicity and there's no change. So if there's no multiplicity and there's no change, he says, everything is one in Him. So both He, the knower, and the cognitive experience, and what He knows are all one. Because whatever He knows comes from Himself, and since the whole world comes from Himself, so by knowing Him, He knows everything. So the Maharal says, what about those things that don't come from Himself? Does he lack knowledge of them, awareness of them? That's one problem. A second problem is a deeper one, and that is definition. He says the Rambam is defining Hashem. A definition. He's giving him a definition of a cognitive reality, an intellectual entity, a rational being. If hu amada, hu ayideya, v'hu ayadua, meaning what is he? He is one with his cognitive faculty, one with what he is known. So he is knowledge. He is seichel, as the Maharal puts it. How can you give Hashem such a description, such a definition, when he transcends any type of description, material or spiritual? Although it's a spiritual description, he transcends any type of definition or description. He says, Chazal didn't call him HaSeichel Baruch Hu. They call him HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh means aloof, separated. Kadosh means Kadoshim to you, Rashi says Prushim to you. Separated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu means he's separated from any description or definition. And therefore the Maharal says that by no means can you describe Hashem as being Hu Amada, Hu Ayedev, Hu Ayedua, as being one with knowledge. Rather, knowledge is a created entity. Just as the Rambam will never say, Hashem is a stone and the stone is him. No, the stone was created by him. So the Maharal says knowledge, will, emotions, love were all created by him, and he employs them. He uses them. But when you say Hashem knows, it's not Hashem in his essence knows. Hashem's essence is beyond knowing. It's undefined in any way. Knowledge is a created phenomenon by him. He employs it, but it's not him. When the Alter Rebbe quotes here the Rambam, that Hu v'chachmasa yecha b'kos d'amadu v'aydev v'ayadua, so someone reading it questions, he says, that's your root, that the neshama z'chelek alakamim al-mamash. The Maharal criticizes the Rambam so severely. So therefore he is compelled to write this note. And what does he say? Let's look inside. He says, v'haydu le'chachmei ha-kabbalah. The Kabbalists have agreed with him, with the Rambam, that Hashem can be described as knower, knowledge, and knowing. K'mei shekasev b'pardes me'haramak, as stated in the Sefer Pardes Rimonim, written by the Ramak, which is an acronym of Rabbi Reb Moshe Kardaviro, a 16th century Kabbalist in Sfas, one of the greatest Mekobolim. His most famous Sefer is this Pardes Rimonim. In Pardes Rimonim, he says, not in one place but two places, conveys this idea of Hu Amada, Hu Ayedeya, Hu Ayedua. Now the Kabbalists, you cannot suspect with being unaware of the critique of the Maharal, because the Mekobolim have explained and revealed much deeper dimensions in the lack of definition and description that can be applied to Hashem. The Mekobolim went steps deeper and more abstract in explaining the limitless essence of Hashem. So the fact that V'haydu le'chachmei ha-kabbalah is not because they were unaware of the greatness and the aloofness that the Maharal attributes to Hashem. Furthermore, in Kabbalah, the limitlessness and the lack of definition in Hashem's reality is discussed in greater length and depth than even in the Maharal Svar. So the V'haydu le'chachmei ha-kabbalah is not in compromise of the Maharal's critique. But considering the Maharal's statements, nevertheless, v'haydu le'chachmei ha-kabbalah. K'mei shekasev b'pardes me'haramak. And he continues, v'gam lefi kabbalas ha-arizal yitziva milsa. Even according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria of blessed memory, yitziva milsa, the Rambam statement stands. And this is a v'gam, because the Arizal's Kabbalah went much further and deeper even than the Ramak's Kabbalah. There are major differences between Kabbalah Saramak and Kabbalah Sarizal. In the field of Kabbalah, there is those areas in Kabbalah that Ramak revealed and explored, and Arizal took that and developed it much deeper, you could even say infinitely deeper. In the realities he discussed, the realities he conveyed, the revelations of the most esoteric dimensions of the Torah and the Kabbalah of the Arizal are far deeper than the Ramak. Nevertheless, the Arizal, even according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, the statement of the Rambam is valid. However, over here, even according to however, there's one issue. And that is, he continues, beside his slapshus, Eirin Seif Baruch Hu, al yedei tzimtzumim rabim, bekelim de chachma bina das datzilus. This is only when applied to the mystic principle of the enclosing of the Ein Sof light by means of numerous contractions and concealments in the vessels of the spheres titled Chachma, Bina, Das, conception, comprehension, and application. The three spheros, the three spheres that represent the divine intellect of the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation. Through a process of self-limitations and contractions called Tzimtzumim, in the language of the Torah, Hashem manifests in Kabbalistic terminology, He clothes Himself, His infinite essence, referred to by the Kabbalists as the Ein Sof, the endless infinite one, He encloses that in what is called the Sphiros. The Sphiros are His attributes, which in some manner have some type of definition and description. This manifestation occurs first in a world, a reality known as Atzilut, the world of emanation in English, and more specifically in the first three spheres of that world, which is Chachma, Bina, Das, Chabad, as he uses the acronym over here, conception, comprehension, and application. Thus, at this level of Atzilus, Hashem can indeed be defined as the Rambam defines Him. That He is the knower, He is the knowledge, the means of knowledge, and He is that which is known. But not higher than Atzilus. Above the world of Atzilus, Hashem cannot be defined in any of these ways. Accordingly, in light of the Ramak and the Arizal's teachings, the statement of the Rambam is valid only beginning with the realm called Olam Atzilus. But in the realm beyond Olam Atzilus, then you cannot say, Hu amadavu ayadevu ayadu, because over there is no definitions whatsoever, thus no attributes, faculties, no chachma, no bina, no das. Parenthetically, this does not mean, according to the Maharal, that the undefined God does not know. If He's undefined, so He possesses everything. But it means it cannot be defined or described in a specific attribute which can become the source of a defined energy. It's totally in an undefined manner, but it encompasses everything in an undefined manner. So beyond Atzilus, this would not be valid. The Rambam statement, Hu amad, is beginning in the world of Atzilus. In other words, what the Rambam is saying, when there is created these attributes of Chachma Bina Das, it's not something separate of Hashem, but it actually becomes one with the Ein Sof that is enclosed. So therefore, Hu amada Hu ayadeva Hu ayadua. Ukemay shekasav umakemacher. As explained elsewhere, she'ein seif baruchu. The ein seif blessed be He, mereimam umisnasei, reimamus ein ketz. Is infinitely exalted over and transcends l'mayla mayla m'muhusu b'chines chabad. The essence and level of chabad of chachma bin adas. Ad. In fact, the level of Chachma Bina Das is regarded as being equally inferior as material action in relation to Him. To that extent, not only does He transcend it infinitely, Chachma Bina Das, but furthermore, it is compared to Him as material action. Just like literally physical substance. Totally, He's infinitely transcends that, the essence of Hashem. So Chabad, the attributes of Chachma Bina Das, albeit their abstraction and spiritual character and godly character, nevertheless, He is totally transcends that and transcends that infinitely. K'may shekasav, as it is written in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Daled, David HaMelech says, Kulam b'chachma asisa. You have made them all with wisdom. We say it every morning in Birchas Krishma. You have made them all with wisdom. So one of the explanations in this pasuk is, some people ask, wouldn't it be more proper to say you have conceived them all with wisdom? Chachma applies, is a spiritual activity where you conceive, you comprehend, you apply. You made them all with chachma is a remes. It's not the literal meaning, but it's a remez that's discussed in Kabbalah and Chassidus. The fact that he says you have made them all with Chachma to convey the similarity between Chachma and Asiya, that Lagabi, the essence of the Ein Saif, Chachma and Asiya are one. Chachma is equally inferior as Asiya, Gufnis, as material action and physical substance is. So this is regarding the Ein Saif. When is the statement of the Rambam valid according to Chachmei HaKabbalah? Only after the enclosement and manifestation in the world of Atzilus. Nevertheless, what we have from here is that true, according to the Chachmei HaKabbalah, this explanation has to be set and discussed. But nevertheless, on a certain level, this statement of Hu v'Chachmasa Yechad is very, very true. So when you talk about the Neshama stemming from Chachmasa Yisbarach, you could say Hu v'Chachmasa Yechad because Hu Amada v'Hu Yedeya, and thus the Nefesh Hashem is B'Yisrael is indeed a Chelek Aleka Mimal Mamish. Yeah. What is the application of the last three words, Kulam B'Chachma Asisa? The Pasuk is in an allegorical manner trying to convey the fact that Chachma and Asiya are equal by Hashem. Kulam B'Chachma Asisa, you have made everything with Chachma. Of course, literally it means you created everything through your wisdom. On a deeper level, it's trying to signify that Asiya and Chachma are alike, equally inferior in comparison with the essence of the divine reality. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In the first question, it was, if the Nefesh HaBahamas could be refined, so why can't you say that also comes from Hashem, right? As the Nefesh HaLakis. Okay, very good. Why can't you say the Nefesh HaBahamas? Yeah, of course, the Nefesh HaBahamas can be refined, elevated, enlightened, etc. As mentioned, the klipa of the Nefesh HaBahamas is defined klipas noiga, which means the translucent klipa that allows a ray of holiness and light to enter it and elevate it and refine it. But nevertheless, it was created, and we call it klipa because it's a created reality. It begins in the realm of creation. Of course, creation comes from Hashem's energy, no question about it. But nevertheless, it's part of that whole creation, which is defined as coming from the dibur of Hashem. And furthermore, in a very concealed, the dibur is very concealed and obscured to the extent that it can create an entity which is self-contained, self-oriented, and perceives itself as the center and focus of everything. Nevertheless, since it's klipas noiga, it's a translucent shell, so therefore it's a husk that can be penetrated, that can be breached, that you can get a message across. The Nefesh HaLakis is totally of another nature. You're dealing with a consciousness that is godly, from its glimmer of consciousness to all its manifestations. Who the Nefesh HaBahamas, you mean? Of course, not... You asked your second question was, if we're anyway talking about symptoms, so why can the Maharal agree? Yeah, the Chachmei HaKabbalah are reconciling, in essence, between the Rambam and the Maharal. That's the whole idea. They're discussing that the Rambam and the Maharal are not arguing, in essence. They're discussing two realms of experience. In his realm, the Maharal is totally correct, and in his realm, the Rambam is correct. Why wasn't the Maharal perturbed by Chazal, Vuhu Rachum, etc.? Why only on the Rambam statement? And why can't Alter Rebbe answer that? How the Gemara says, Dibra Torah Kaloshim B'nei Adam. Okay. The answer on question number one is, the Maharal discusses the Vuhu Rachum. The Maharal discusses the Vuhu Rachum means Hashem creates empathy and compassion. It's a created phenomenon. The Rambam comes along and says, Hu hamada v'hu ayedeya. The mada is one with the ayedeya. So it's not a created entity knowledge. That is who he is. That's answer number one. Why the Alter Rebbe doesn't answer that is very simple. The same reason. The Rambam is not saying Dibra Torah Kaloshim Bnei Adam that Hashem has knowledge. The Rambam says Hashem's knowledge is totally beyond our knowledge. But the knowledge of Hashem is one with him. So it's a very serious issue you're talking about. Yeah. The Rambam says we don't understand how Hashem's knowledge is one with him. That's very important. We have no comprehension of the unity between Hashem's essence and his cognitive faculty and experience and what he knows. But nevertheless, that's what he's talking about. So it's not Dibra Torah Kaloshim Bnei Adam. Regarding, for example, when you speak about the eyes of Hashem, the hand of Hashem over there, the Rambam also says it's only Dibra Torah Kaloshim Bnei Adam. It's a metaphor. But regarding Yediyah, the Rambam said the Rambam possesses a faculty of Yediyah in a very real way. Totally beyond ours, but nevertheless, some type of it, some level of Yediyah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah? What do you want? I should repeat it? Yeah. Yeah. Was the Maharal a Makubal? And if the Maharal was a Makubal, why didn't he himself make this reconciliation between his shita and the Rambam's shita? Okay, generally speaking, the Maharal is considered to be one of the great Mekubalim, one of the great Kabbalists, although it should be emphasized that his terminology, as well as his structure, is drastically different than the majority of most other Mekubalim, especially when we compare the Svarim of the Maharal to the Mekubalim of his generation. So the terminology is very, very different. But the Maharal is generally considered one of the Mekubalim. Nevertheless, the Maharal did not receive the tradition, the Kabbalistic tradition that was transmitted and that was revealed to the Ramak, to Rabbi Moshe Kadaviro, and certainly not the Kabbalistic tradition that was transmitted or revealed to the Arizal. Yeah? The Maharal was born, according to most opinions, in the 16th century, I believe in the year 1512. He passed away in the year 1609. The Maharal lived, according to this, 97 years. He passed away on Chai Elul, 1609. He lived to be 97 years. Shin Samach Tes would be 609. The Ramak and the Arizal lived in the same century as mentioned. The Ramak passed away in the year 1570 at the age of 45. The Arizal passed away 2 years later, in 1572, at the young age of 38. It's interesting, it would be even more interesting to note that in the Maharal Sefer Derech Chaim on Pirkei Avos, the Maharal is a Sefer Derech Chaim, in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, he explains and he reiterates that same point that he discusses at length in Gvuras Hashem, mentioned earlier, about the fact that we cannot attribute any character traits to Hashem. And he adds that he heard that there was a man living in Poland, and when he read my words in Gvuras Hashem in the second introduction, he opened his mouth against me, saying that what my statements in Gvuras Hashem are not consistent with the Jewish faith, they're not consistent with Amunah. And the Maharal says, he made a shturim about me, that I said things that are inconsistent with Yiddishkeit, by the fact, as a result of my say, what's not consistent with Amunah, that I said that the Yediyah is not the Atzmus of Hashem, that Hashem's knowledge is not His essence. And the Maharal continues, why didn't he attack the Zohar? Why didn't he attack all the Svarim HaNechbadim of Kabbalah, all the important Kabbalistic works? Why is he attacking me? And he enumerates the various Svarim of Kabbalah, Avodas HaKodesh from Rabbi Meir Ben Gabbai, Mareches HaLukos of Rabbeinu Peretz, which from all these Svarim we see that the Sphiris, as he puts it, the Kabbalistic, the spheres, the character traits of Hashem, so to speak, are not by any means to be associated with His essence. Who's the Maharal talking about? The Maharal talks about a Jew in Poland. Some people want to say that he's referring to the Ramah, Reb Moshe Isserles, who lived in that time. He is the one, of course, who authored all the Haggas on the Shulchan Aruch, and Rabbi Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch, who also lived in that century. Ramah lived in Poland, in Krakow, and in his Sefer Teres HaOila, as well as in other works, he generally tries to synthesize Kabbalah and philosophy. So therefore they suspected that the Maharal meant him, because since he tries to synthesize Kabbalah and philosophy, he also tries to demonstrate that the philosophical doctrines which the Rambam articulated are consistent with the truth of Kabbalah. But that claim is an error, it's a toes, because anyone who reads the continuation of Derech Chaim there, he sees that the Maharal mentions one of the writings of this person of Poland who he criticizes, and it's obvious that his intention was to a man named Rebbe Eliezer Ashkenazi. Rebbe Eliezer Ashkenazi authored a sefer Maaseh Hashem. He lived in Egypt, and in his old age, at his older years, he moved to Poland. And it's obvious the Maharal is referring to him. Okay, but in any case, let's continue presently. An interesting question was raised last week after the Shir in connection with the Pasuk that Alter Rebbe quotes in the beginning of the Perek, mentioned earlier, Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam Afra Min Ha'adama Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim Vayihi Ha'adam L'Nefesh Chaya. That according to the Alter Rebbe's interpretation, that Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim is referring to the Nefesh HaLikis, which is in man. Where does this Pasuk make reference? Where do we have the Nefesh HaBahamis mentioned in this Pasuk and in the story of man's creation in the Torah? In other words, literally, this person asked, the interpretation of this Pasuk is as follows. The Pasuk describes the creation of the human body. Hashem formed man, dust from the earth, Afra min Adama. And then the Torah continues to describe the soul which Hashem imbued in the body to animate it and to give it vitality. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. And as a result of that, the human being became a living creature. But according to the Alter Rebbe, we cannot interpret the Pasuk that way. Because according to him, this Pasuk is only referring to the Nefesh HaLikis. Because Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, Hashem blew in to his nostrils a breath, a soul of life, is referring to the divine soul, as he explained earlier in the beginning of the chapter. And it's not referring to the vital soul, to the corporal soul, which gives vitality and animation to the body. So this is a very good point. And the truth is that, similar to this question, we find in the Mefarsh, in the commentaries on this pasuk concerning another issue. And since this is a very interesting and very fundamental idea connected to the discussions in Jewish literature about the human structure and the human soul, I want to elaborate it. I want to elaborate on this for a few moments. It's known that among the medieval Jewish philosophers, there was a major argument concerning the general anatomy of the human soul. The great philosophers in Spanish Jewry, most notably Reb Shloime ibn Gabirol and Reb Avraham ben Ezra the Aven Ezra, both of them living in the 11th century, they claim that every human being possesses three souls. What they call as the Nefesh HaTzimachas, the Nefesh HaBahamis, and the Nefesh HaSichlis. The vegetative soul, the animal soul, and the intellectual soul. The first soul the human being possesses, according to their opinion, is a vegetative soul. This is a vitality which he shares with all of the produce and vegetation that comes from the earth. This is the soul that allows the human being to grow from small to big, just as a tree, as a plant, as a flower, anything in the botanic kingdom grows and has a certain energy and vitality that allows it to be produced and to grow. The second soul in man is the animal soul. This is the soul in man which he shares with all other animals, with all other living creatures in the zoological race. From this soul stem his vitality, his physical energy that animates him. The energy that animates an animal and also animates a human being. From this stems the energy, the power of perception, all of the instinctive faculties, all of the cravings, lusts, and impulses of man, his natural dispositions and instincts stem from this soul. And finally, there's a third soul, which is the rational soul. This is the soul which is unique. It's exclusively the domain of the human being. It's unique to the human race, which allows him to comprehend, to understand intellectual truths, concepts, and ideas, and so forth. The Aven Ezra articulates this doctrine of his in several places, most notably in his Pirush on Kehelis. In Kehelis, Perek Zayin, on the Pasuk, Toiv Kas Mischaik, Shlomo HaMelech says, anger is better than laughter. The Aven Ezra discusses this point, and he explains, according to this, several contradictions in Sefer Kehelis concerning various attributes of the human being, because he says these psukim are talking about three distinct categories in people which operate differently, each one operating on one level of soul. So there's a person who's in touch with the rational soul, another one with the animal soul, another one with the vegetative soul, and so forth. This opinion is also held by Reb Shloime ibn Gabirol. Reb Shloime ibn Gabirol was one of the greatest Jewish philosophers and poets of his time, and in his highest form in this soul is, of course, the intellectual dimension. Intellectual dimension. The Rambam discusses in many places this being as the uniqueness of man, not only having the vegetative soul, the vital animal soul, but also on a cognitive experience and faculty which allows him to soar beyond physical experience and to understand, to comprehend. What is the difference if you say three souls or one soul? It's not stam semantics over here. There's a major difference that has extremely deep applications in one's life. And that is as follows. Briefly, three souls means there are three levels of consciousness that are separate. One is the intellectual capacity. But another one is the vegetative capacity. So that's a technical capacity. But more importantly is the one in the middle, which is the vital capacity. The vital soul. Which includes vitality, feeling, emotions, impulses, desires.